During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Dimitri Grabizis, who was born and raised in Gjirokastër, Albania. He and his wife and young daughter moved to Maine in 1994, where they met up with relatives who had come here before them. Welcome, Dimitri.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So you consider yourself a Greek Albanian in your southern city of 40,000 people, which is close to the Greek border. There are about 10% or so that are ethnically Greek. I wondered if you could tell us what it was like to be an ethnic minority in Albania as you were growing up.
Yes, it was not easy really in all aspects. We spoke Greek at homes with our parents, but not outside houses, because we'd be discriminated or others will talk down to us, like calling names.
Mm-hmm.
We worked really harder to get somewhere in life, in school, in workplaces.
Were you kept from jobs and that kind of thing? Was there discrimination at that level, or mostly just people not appreciating you fully?
Somehow it was just like to get like good positions and good jobs. You know, I mean, as I said in the very beginning, we had to work hard in all aspects to be able to be part of those jobs or to get those jobs to be employed at the time.
And can people tell by looking at you that you're a Greek Albanian rather than a, I don't know, what kind of Albanian?
Well, we're consider ourselves a small minority, which I was born and raised in a beautiful city in Gjirokastër in Albania. And I took all part of my education there, elementary school, middle school, high school, and further to college. And, you know, my passport there, we had like two citizenships, like the first one as a Greek minority and the second as an Albanian citizenship. So.
And is there any restricted travel for one or the other?
No, as far as travel, no restricted, but somehow and in different ways, as I said, was I'll consider myself as the Greek minority. It was kind of treated no and the same. The same level and the same respect and the same manners like, you know, other.
We call that second class citizen.
Let's call it like that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Albania was a communist country until 1997, is that correct?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So Dimitri, you were in schooling and you were learning about capitalism while we were here learning about communism. Having lived in both systems, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what you learned that was true and what you learned that didn't seem so accurate about capitalism.
Capitalism, mm-hmm. Yes. We had different thoughts about capitalism, the people were not free and couldn't choose how many hours on the day they would work. Competition could wipe out friendships and businesses and capitalism. What I learned now is that competition keeps the country going. So people keep bettering themselves to win. They try new ways to win, and opportunities are available for everyone in this country. Everybody has the right to dream and make them reality with hard work and dedication.
Hmm. So you kind of appreciate the creativity that comes with it and the ability to dream big.
I really do, and all my family really do, and I believe all my generation which came in this country in these years and even now, I do appreciate the opportunities what this country gives to everybody to dream, to work hard, and to achieve their goals.
It's beautiful, and I certainly see that. Week to week, I meet new immigrants and established immigrants, and one of the themes I see running through all of those people is extremely hard work.
Well, it's not easy. I mean, to reach, to achieve the dream, of course, it's not something you can find it ready on the street. You grab it and then, you know, you keep going.
Oh, here's a dream.
Yes. But you have to work hard. When I say hard, dedication. You know, you have to. I remember ourselves when we came to this country. You know, we came with the program, visa lottery from state, and we came with a green card. And after 2 weeks, we got the social security number and working permit. We start working after the second week in this country. And I remember together with my wife, We worked even double jobs. Also, beside that, we used to go to a evening classes in Portland Adult Education to learn English because we came with not any English with us.
You grew up speaking Russian as a second language, right?
Absolutely. In schools, we had, again, choices either to learn Russian or English. And again, being part of, you know, Greek minority, first of all, they have to choose who is going to study in English and then whatever was left, you know. But I was lucky because my wife and her school, she was chosen even high school and a college to learn and to study English. So we came half little prepared in this country. So this helped a lot. So.
I bet it would. So Gjirokostra is a beautiful mountainous area with a strong relationship to the ancient world of Byzantine and Ottoman empires. I wonder what the best thing for you was about growing up in Albania. Are there things you miss from your childhood?
Really, I do miss a lot, but I would say I do really miss Gjirokastra, my city, which I was born and grew up. The streets which I used to play as a child. The life there was very simple at the time. We're not rich, but the neighbors were treated as a family because, like us, their life was simple without many opportunities. The opportunities to grow or have a business didn't exist and was only in our dreams, which this dream became true when we came to this country.
Yeah.
So
the idea that you didn't have the opportunity to grow is a really interesting one. So if you had a small business, there was no opportunity to change that into a larger business?
Well, first of all, not any kind of business was existed by the time there. It was all, you know, like government
state
jobs,
sponsored.
State sponsors. Mm-hmm. And I remember in the schools I was teaching there, I was a full-time teacher in a musical school. And I used to teach 4 or 5 hours a day. And I had a pay, let's call it salary, yearly salary, which wasn't enough to think for creating business or pursuing further. Enough to make the living, to have food on the table, and small things like that. So it wasn't just me, it was all, you know, all country like that.
Do you still have family in Albania?
Right now I do have family in Albania. My brother with the two his kids lives in capital city Tirana. They both educated, finished the university there, and unfortunately in these days none of them is working on the field. They dedicate many years of their life to study.
Because there are no positions for them?
No positions, and it's really, really hard. Some more are kids which they graduated from schools and colleges and universities that are works available.
Mm, people are over-educated for the positions?
I would say over-educated, but I would say no jobs available for skills or for whatever they study in their schools.
What was the role of music in your family when you were growing up? Music became a big theme, and we'll hear more about that from Dmitry, but I'm curious how it started with you.
Well, this time the folk music there was very popular, and I remember my dad sang with others in family events, like a cappella version of music, which we call like polyphonic music, many voices without instruments, and others with instruments also too. The most popular instrument there for the type of music was a clarinet, violin, tambourine, and harmonica. So in my house, wasn't anybody classical trained in music. I was the first one to get the training in classical music. And beside that, I started teaching when I was 19 years old. And first high school, which city opened at the year I graduated from high school.
How did you have access to a violin by such modest means?
Well, interesting. I was 6 years old, and I remember my first cousin, which by the time he graduated from professional high school, it called Liceu Artistic in Tirana, he came in Gjirokastra to become as a music teacher at that school. And I was the only one in the family on that age, so he grabbed me and he sent me to audition. And I won the audition, and this is how I started, which really in these years being a kid wasn't pleasant. Because as a kid, you wanted to play on the streets, you wanted to do other things. Besides sports and music wasn't any other opportunities there in the time. But I do appreciate right now more I grow and more I am into the music and more I see what my dream became true. I do thank him many times. And I hope him, of course, the same luck like mine and everything else.
You've paid it forward, educating many children with the violin.
Yes.
How many hours a day do you think you were practicing when you were 6, 7, 8?
Well, I mean, at that time, of course, I mean, to learn an instrument, you have to be consistent, as you have to be consistent in life or everything, school and everything. I don't exactly remember the amount, but at least probably an hour a day at this time, because the music was the only thing kids could have as a something, let me call it luxury, the time. Because no other kids were able to go to music schools because everything was with the audition and everything was, you know, talented students were selected for the school. Wasn't, you know, others, of course, they will get in sports and other activities.
I think that's interesting that a state with modest means would care enough to have a music high school, a music education from 6 years old up. Were there other specialty high schools like a music high school? Were there arts high schools and like science high schools?
Yes, they were like for sculpture, to be a painter, I mean, to become a plumber, I mean, electrician, you know, high schools. And of course, after that, there were, I mean, you can pursue universities to become like a mechanical engineer or civil engineer or become an artist, like deal with sculptures and, you know, painters and everything. So, but again, everything was going through auditions.
But it sounds like a culture that very much valued education.
Something which really, now, we immigrated to, let's call it this country, and many of other friend of mine in our generation, when the communist system broke up in 97, the boards were free, and we grabbed the chance to leave the country because we offered a better opportunities beside, you know, behind our boards. And we chose just to, you know, to leave the country and to come here for, as I said, for better, you know, for better future, better to set up our dreams and to make better for, you know, our life, for family, for kids, and other aspects.
Yes, you've been enriching our community with your culture ever since.
Yes.
You're listening to WMPG, and if you're just joining us, welcome. This is New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Dimitri Grabizis. He was originally from the southern part of Albania, where he received a fabulous education and worked as a violin instructor before coming to Portland, Maine in 1994. Dimitri, you are now a violin instructor once again, but you didn't get to start as a violin instructor when you arrived. Can you tell us about your work life in Maine as you made the transition from being a Greek Albanian to an American in the early 90s?
As I mentioned before, we won the State Department Visa Lottery and came to the United States in March 94 with rights to work right away. With 2 weeks, we got the Social Security number and work permit followed by the green card. Without much English, my wife and I started working after 2 weeks in this country. Long story short, we worked temporary jobs, on call, dry cleaning, and going to adult education classes to learn English. My wife Anelda and my daughter Alexandra were walking every evening in the library in Congress Street, I remember this time, to pick up audiobooks to learn about stories and songs. I was doing factory job night shift for 5 years. I wanted to teach violin. That was what I was good at. But it was like a dream that I never thought it would be reality. This is United States, and opportunities are for everybody. After my English got better, I started thinking and start giving violin lessons at my first students in about 1999 and early 2000s. I started going to people's houses to teach their children violin and started to work at a day job at Disability RMS Insurance Company. Then I taught for a few years at Portland Conservatory of Music. by the time this were like 5 years have gone by since we came to this country, and our progress started to show. My wife started working as a structural engineer. I was teaching violin. Our second child, Peter, was born. We bought our first house in Portland in 1997, and I started giving violin lessons in my house, and after at the space above the garage. So we were happy with our progress in 5 years.
Yes, that's all kind of an archetypal American dream.
Really, it was American dream. I mean, and I remember before we came here, when we learned like our name got selected to come with Visa Lottery, and talking with friends that I remember in Greece also too, because from 97 we had chance to move in Greece. And I worked there, of course, in different jobs, and I had chance to apply my teaching violin and playing. People, when they used to bring in our conversations like United States, I hear like it was a dream. And I didn't know what the dream was for. You know, it looked like really a dream you see and goes by and disappears, sometimes comes. But we saw the reality when we came here. And it's we are so blessed, we're so proud, we're so lucky, if I said, like, we are in this country, we are in beautiful Maine, which we love so much. And we hope, you know, life to continue the way it started and get better.
I'm glad you're happy here.
Very much so.
And tell us all about the your music studio, Apollon, School of Music on Forest Avenue in Portland. How many students do you have at a time? What are your goals with these students?
Sure. In 2004, now we had like 10 years in the United States. We bought our rental investment property and became landlords. We remodeled the first floor, which right now is my school, Apollon School of Music. I remember all our savings on 10 years. We put it, remodel the place and to make it warm and convenient for teaching purposes. And in 2006, I started teaching only at Apollon Studio. The number of students varies, but I would say an average 20 or so. My students come to a very young age, and most of them stay until they graduate from high school. They are like family to me. My goals for them are they learn to read music and play classical style. They perform 2 times a year in front of parents, and they learn to deal with stage fright at a very young age, which gives them confidence. And also they do participate in USM Youth Ensembles, which is a wonderful musical program here in the state of Maine. I love teaching and enjoy very much seeing my student grow and progress in playing violin.
I bet it's a real honor to get to watch them transform and grow up. And you see them, many of them, from when they're quite young till through high school, right?
Beside that, you see them grow. I mean, coming as a kid, first grader, and you see them graduate from high school, young men, young ladies, and share the journey. It's joy. You can replace it with any other thing. I love to do what I'm doing, and we share with my wife sometimes when we do recitals, and after the concert we have the gathering hour, which we share foods and we share thoughts. And I mean, all these families became as one big family. My wife always, I said, you're jealous what I'm doing, and I were laughing with each other anyway. So it's so pleasure to see a large family like that connecting with each other, to share all their kids' achievement. This is something which, you know, I always appreciate it, and I'll never forget, and I'll stuck with that.
I imagine a number of these students must feel as if you're like an uncle to them, you know, someone that stays with you all those years as you're developing and is instrumental in your development. Sad pun there, sorry.
Well, we try to keep it like, you know, to keep it as interested and as exciting as possible. I know it's hard because and these days, I remember when I was a kid in their age in my country, I didn't have, opportunities, or I didn't have to choose beside the violin and sports, nothing else. And it's hard in these days because, you know, I mean, it's 21st century kids. They'll play sports, they'll swimming, they'll dance, they'll ice skating. You know, on top of that, is they play violin, they do play piano. It's so many things.
You work with a lot of overachievers.
So I know it's tiring, but we try to always make it and keep it fun, pleasure for them, and this is what keeps this, you know.
Do you dance going. While they play?
Not really classical music, no, but I dance when, you know, they play Greek music, so.
Oh, that's good. I want to come play some Greek music and get to watch you dance.
Sure.
You've said that you love living in this country because dreams can come true. That makes sense because you've worked very hard and are now a business owner, as you said, a landlord, a father of two, a husband, and a highly, you have a highly successful family. What are your dreams for the future, for the next 5 years or so?
For the next 5 years, I want to see myself continue teaching with the same passion, energy, and love, and also to be available for other opportunities coming in our way. This is a land of opportunities, and we do appreciate it, we love it, and we dedicate our life to that.
I think you really have. Your wife is a structural engineer, gone realtor. Your children are out in the world doing wonderful things. You have a high school senior, right?
Yes, Peter is graduating this year, and he's thinking hard, and we're thinking hard as a family, you know, what he wants to pursue for his future. And my daughter is in the last year of finishing the PhD program and doctors in Yale on neuroscience research. We're so proud of her, and Peter also too. And, you know, we'll continue to give them as much love and attention they need to be smart and to be able, like, to dedicate whatever they learn in those beautiful schools to this society and life overall.
I like how you have your eye out for opportunities and ready to work hard to catch up with them and jump on the train. Dimitri, you have a beautiful passion for learning, constantly improving, and sharing your knowledge with others. And you do this in the most graceful and grateful way as you benefit our society. I hope you will keep making beautiful music in this community, and thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Kate.
I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Dimitri Grabizis. Would you be so kind as to introduce the song you selected to close today's program, Dimitri?
The piece which I chose, it's called the Hungarian Dance No. 5 from Jan Brahms. And usually this we do what we do the best with our students. I play together with them on stage, one of like earliest recital on stage.
Great. Thanks so much. I look forward to hearing them. Thank you.